Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good mention on an email, from Dan for one of the best home runs or a favorite home run is one that Bartolo Colon hit. Which I think I saw, like Mets Padres, maybe that was. I mean, Colon hitting a home run that's pretty good. Judge last night, even Guerrero's in the first inning was boss, right? I mean, it's 2-0, and he's coming off those games in Toronto, just like no doubter in the first. But Jays couldn't hold on. With me now on the Wester Hotline, surely happy about all this, is Sal Capaccio. Sal, I was asking before, like, about the Judge homer. If people had an all-time favorite home run, one woman called and said it was that last night. That was it. So I don't know if you do, but that breaks pretty good. I mean, that brought them back to life here.
Boy, you put me on the spot here. That is definitely one of them. But I think about Boone in 03.
Yeah.
I think maybe Jeter off of is against Arizona. Against the Diamondbacks.
Kim is the pitcher, right?
Young Kim, right? Is that it? Who was?
I think so.
I think so, too. I think maybe that could be the one that I would go to. I don't know. Like, that was pretty cool. Like, just, it's Jeter, right? It's Mr. Clutch, and he does it in that moment. You're like, you've got to be kidding me.
How about Jeffrey Mayer, Sal, too, against Baltimore?
Yeah.
Technically, it's a home run.
Yes. The home run that maybe shouldn't have been, right? For
right,
sure.
Definitely.
I think did Jeter lead off with one against the Mets in the Subway Series? I think he did one as well.
Like, okay.
That, remember that as well. So there's been a few along the way for sure.
I guess. That's right. Well, wild game. Wild series, Sal. Like I mentioned earlier how I went to Twitter feeling all pumped up when the Jays were up 6-1 and like just wanted to get a taste of it. And I saw a tweet from you and from other people on the Yankees, basically not exactly writing them off, but you had a tweet about like what the Jays could do in future rounds. And yeah. I don't know, how close were you to thinking it was over?
Well, before that tweet, I basically did tweet it was over. Never been so happy to possibly be on Old Takes Exposed because they could have done it. Because I said, my tweet was basically, I would say good series Blue Jays, but it certainly hasn't been a good series.
No, right.
Because it's been boring because they've just stomped on the Yankees. That's not good baseball. Like, congratulations to them. And that's when someone responded, well, they're just doing this to get beaten by a better team. And then the tweet you saw was, no, they can beat anybody with this offense. Like, they're incredible. And then literally an inning later is when everything started to happen. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And now they're in a position where, look, I mean, yes, you have to win because it's your season on the line, but you got to win tonight. I mean, this is a very winnable game with Schlittler on the mound and them going with a bullpen game. And I love the points that were made, and I agreed with this, and I thought this to myself, but I'm so glad Jeter said this, and then A-Rod said it last night on the postgame, and they're so right. The Yankees kind of got right a little bit in game two towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they started to hit the ball, and that did a lot for them. Even though it was a blowout, they started to hit the ball, and I think that actually did a lot for them going into game three.
Varland, I think, is the name of the Toronto pitcher
yes.
who was mixed up in the middle of last night's game that's starting tonight. So
yeah, he is.
They're on the ropes a little bit in their bullpen. We'll see. Every game is different. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Okay, so no Bills today with the Monday night game. It's pushed back until tomorrow. How do you feel about this game with Atlanta or just things in general? I was talking earlier about how it's very similar to last year where they've lost one now and the things that maybe bugged you about them are maybe now okay to bring up because they actually have lost a game. You don't sound like so much of a crazy person if you're complaining about this or that with the Bills. Do you feel that way?
I was listening earlier when you were talking about this. I really liked it, and I think that you're spot on. To me, like, it just feels like it's the same kind of thing over the last few years because, honestly, I don't know what it all matters right now if I say, well, I'm concerned about the secondary. Well, I'm concerned about the receivers because at the end of the day, I think they're still in the same spot at the end of the year, and then what does it matter? We don't know, right? I think that's where I am because the only difference – and, Mike, I've said this for months and months, and I think you're in the same boat, which is – the only thing left for this team is to get the one seed. Like, are any of those things we're talking about today holding them back from getting the one seed? I don't think so. So what do I do with it? I'm not really sure, to be quite honest with you. Like, I think that's right, like, to say, well, you know, the secondary's got this issue. Well, they don't have a field stretcher. We've said this for the last few years, and while they don't have the one seed, they've made it to the AFC Championship game, and they've come 3 points away from getting to a Super Bowl. And now they might have a better chance because I think they're still going to get the one seed. So I think in general, I kind of feel just like the same I have. I need to see action, though. Are they – what I think about is, do they feel like it is so there for them this year? It is so there compared to any other year that they're going to make some sort of move to say – we're making sure this doesn't hurt us. We're going to go out and get something and do something. And that's kind of where I go with it.
And that's just even itself is, of course, something that you really – there's no guarantee in that, right? I mean, it looks good and it makes sense to do it. And they, I think, too, should be willing to part with a draft pick like they did last year for to be better at a position. But it still is – you know, it's still just a gamble and somewhat of a guess. Would that be the secondary for you? As we get closer to the trade deadline, unless things change, would that be area one where you think maybe they should go get somebody?
It would be. I think it's, for me, area one. I also think for them, it could possibly be area one. And I say it for a couple reasons. Number one, yes, there's been some struggles there. Like, you know, you look at last week and even talking about, you know, even Sean McDermott bringing up the stat, like, you know, no pass breakups except for a defensive end. Like, those are things that matter. They're not getting enough play on the ball from the secondary. I also just look at numbers, Mike. I mean, they have right now numbers meaning roster-wise and names and where they are with health. Tre'Davious White, whether they believe he can be legitimate, you know, starting corner for them for the rest of the year to get them to where they want to go is a good question. But then behind him, what do you have? Because right now, Dorian Strong, who he had rotated with, is on IR, and there's serious questions about his neck. Where does that lead? Is he done for the year? We don't know. Max Harrison, well, he's not just going to walk in the door tomorrow and make some difference. Like, you know, the expectations, I think, are way too high on him to come in and just make this impact right away if people are expecting that. He's got to practice. He's got to get back in. He's missed so much time. Like, I just think it's a little off the charts there to think that. Jamarcus Ingram, Dane Jackson, like, what are you looking at there? It's not just the names, it's the numbers, because you have the two rookies that you were relying on to be contributors who aren't even going to be ready, basically. And then even at safety, you could definitely have a conversation about, do you have enough there? But I just know how they operate at safety enough. That's such a spot that means so much to them to have somebody that knows what they're doing, that unless it's a guy they really believe in to come in and be able to kind of stabilize a little bit, that knows the system, you know, the old D. Marlowe thing. I'm not suggesting D. Marlowe specifically, but you get my point.
Yeah.
You know, that something, someone like that. They do have Jordan Hancock, who they're still working. So I go a little away from safety and more to corner, and I do think that's the number one spot.
It's the kind of thing, and this hasn't really happened to the Bills yet. If they're really down bad in the secondary, then they could end up having to compensate in other ways on defense. And, I mean, the run defense has been hit pretty hard, too, so far this year. There's only so much you can do, I guess, Sal. But they have deservedly gotten credit for how good they've been against the pass. And maybe now, I mean, it was really just Diggs in this game that did any kind of damage. But there was damage. Maybe this is a point in time when we have to really wonder whether they can hold up.
Yeah, I do think, though, Mike, that the guys they've missed will matter. Like, I think that Ed Oliver will matter to this defense. It's not that he's going to suddenly come in and, you know, put up unbelievable numbers and sacks and things like that. But, like, I look what happened last week, which is you have the New England Patriots. At some point in that game, during the second half, the Patriots made a great adjustment. What they did was they put two backs on the field at the same time and said, go block the two Bills defensive ends along with the tackles. They double-teamed them. They double-teamed both defensive ends with a tackle and a running back because they knew that the Bills didn't have an interior pass rusher. You get at Oliver, that changes.
Yeah.
Now Joey Bosa is a little more free. Now Greg Rousseau is a little more free. Like, I do think those things matter to the passing game as well. And honestly, like, Michael Hoyt was very good in preseason and camp. I think they've had a plan for him to kind of utilize him in different ways, much like maybe like Lorenzo Alexander was a few years ago, and how when he had a really good year and you just kind of didn't know what he was going to do on play to play, and that'll allow him to move around. So again, not that it's going to make – they're not going to go from necessarily the 30th ranked run defense to the number five. I'm not saying that. But I do think those guys matter to the overall picture, and the D-line matters to the passing game as much as it does to the running game.
Sal Capaccio with me, Mike Shope. He's on the Western Hotline. Bulldog is off today. So are you thinking about Atlanta much yet? It's not a team that the Bills have much history with, even though it doesn't even matter going way back. Even recently, it's one game under Josh Allen. McDermott has two. There was a cool win in Atlanta when he was a rookie coach when they were a pretty big underdog. But, you know, that's still even itself a long time ago. I don't know. I don't really have, like, much of a thought, you know, built on the Falcons yet. There is talent, though. I mean, we know that. Skill positions, edge rushers, they have some talent.
They have a lot of talent on offense. I mean, you know, Bijan Robinson is awesome.
Elite.
And Drake London is great. And Kyle Pitts can be. I mean, sometimes that's a little hot and cold, right, as you know. But I think the deal with them, though, is having a second-year quarterback who is very up and down at times. And he's not – this is not a super mobile guy, right? This is not a guy that is going to get out and really hurt you in space. Now, I say that, and look what happened with Tua, right? He did have that a couple times. I think Sean McDermott and the Bills' defensive staff has done a really good job with young quarterbacks generally. I know Drake May had a nice day last week. I get that. Nice night. But they've generally done a good job, and I think that, you know, they'll be, you know, planning things to make sure that he can't hurt them and then concentrate on the run as much as possible. So no doubt about it. I don't know what to do with Atlanta because I look at some of their scores. I look at some of their games. They haven't played the most world-beating of quarterbacks even last week. Did Jaden Daniels play last week? I can't remember for sure. He
did not play against Atlanta.
Nah. That's right, Marcus Mariota did.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know really what to do with them. They got shut out by the Panthers. Like 30-0. I'm like, what happened? Now, the stats wouldn't kind of lend yourself to that as much, you know, if you look at the box score. But I'm like, how do you lose to the Carolina Panthers 30-0? But they have a nice game they played against the Bucks. They lost at the end. The Bucks are a good team. 23-20, the Bucks beat them. I just kind of don't know what to do with them. Their defensive numbers are awesome. They are allowing 135 yards a game against the pass. That's it. They're allowing 57 or 58% completion percentage. I just don't know how real that is based on who they're playing. But hey, same thing with the Bills. You can only play who's on your schedule. There's no shame in that. Whoever's in front of you, you got to shut down. And they've done that on defense.
How about the Bills offense on Sunday night, Sal? I mean, they scored 20 points. That they're used to scoring more than that. There were some good things. But was there something about what they were not able to do that's troubling?
Hold on to the ball. I mean, yeah.
Honestly,
Mike, like, I don't go – they didn't run the ball very well. I also want to give credit to the opponent. That's a really tough run defense. They actually did a lot better against the Patriots than most teams do against the Patriots, so I'm not concerned about that. I think they actually had a better day than most teams do against that front, even though it was tough on them. And to me, that's encouraging because even though you're going against a Falcon, and now the Falcons defense numbers wise is not great against the run. I think this is a James Cook game. Like, they're going to feed him and they're going to try and beat them with the run game and say, we don't have to even worry about, we're going to try and throw against you guys. We're going to beat you in the run game. So I think kind of that's the formula there. They didn't hold on to the ball. That's number one. They threw the ball away once. Josh Allen was a bad pass. He said it wasn't a bad decision. It was more on the pass. And I agree with that. Because if you look at the play, like, there's a spot to fit that ball in, but he threw it a little bit behind. Was it Shakir, maybe? The intended target. I can't remember for sure. I guess, Mike, the one thing that I would say is maybe separation, and people have talked about it. But again, you look at some of the film, there was some separation at times. Josh doesn't find Curtis Samuel on the one play that people have seen. But that seems like it's maybe the one thing that's like, eh, they didn't do it. Now, what did Joe Brady say? Joe Brady said, that's the best pair of corners we're going to face all year. So you know how he feels about it, at least with who they faced.
Did we talk about this on Monday? I don't know. We're going into sort of this stuff, right? What went wrong for the Bills in the game? How do you feel about New England holding up? The schedule is pretty much cake almost the entire way. Are they good enough to like really take advantage of that and make this a race?
I'll give you a hot take. You ready?
So ready.
I think the Saints beat the Patriots this weekend.
All right, so that's a no.
I could be wildly wrong, and sure, you could, you know, just go back and say, okay, you know, Sal was an idiot. And that's possible. I think they're a good enough team to make the playoffs? Yes. But the Patriots, by design, and we saw this on Sunday night, want to play tight games. They do not leave themselves much margin for error. By simply the way they want to play, it took three turnovers for them, three against the Bills. They won 2-1 on 3-1 on the Bills.
Yep.
For them to win on a last-second field goal. They lost a game where they turned the ball over five times. I mean, they just don't give themselves a lot of margin for error. And I think that's a dangerous way to live. What did Sean McDermott say? We can take clues on how, you know, Sean McDermott, people say he doesn't say anything. If you listen, he tells you a lot, actually. He said after the game, he said it multiple times. You could tell he's frustrated by it. He said, we played the game they wanted us to play. What he's telling you is, we don't want to get in that muck it up battle. As Chris Brown said, they like to muck it up, the Patriots. I love that. He said, but that's to me what he's saying. Like, we don't want to play that muck it up game. You know, we're too talented for that. Don't get into that stupid stuff, because that's what happens. You make a mistake here, make their mistake there. That's how they take advantage of you. It's the old left wing lock of the New Jersey Devils, honestly. That's what it is, Mike. That's how the Patriots want to play. And you can win, but man, you make a few mistakes and you lose.
You know, I think this makes a lot of sense. I keep thinking about their schedule and how they'll be favored in so many of these games, maybe, unless, you know, they have something changed about their roster or something. But that doesn't mean you're going to win them all. Like, if they go into every game as a 4-point favorite, you're not going to beat everybody. So, and that's they'll have to come close to that probably to keep up with the Bills. You know, they'll have to get to, you know, an 11 or 12 win pace, I would think, to make this interesting. And they will play the Bills again late in the season. Mm-hmm. But I think that's right. I think regardless of philosophy, and this does, you know, these are correlated, but, you know, we're talking about the trade deadline. If New England had one more weapon, and Diggs is still older, and who knows how well he holds up here off that injury, looked great Sunday. But if they had one more piece to go with him, like a game breaker type, everybody wants that, I guess. That would change it for me, because I don't know. I don't know if they have enough firepower to overcome like the close game point.
Agreed. And I mean, already we have a bit of a sample on this. Now, granted, it's the first few weeks of the season, and I always say like you can't really judge as much, but they lost to the Raiders 20-13 because they made a couple mistakes, and the Raiders played a nice game where they didn't make as many mistakes. And then they beat the Dolphins by 6 points because they had, what, a kick return for a touchdown? The Dolphins outplayed them in that game statistically. Like, that's just they're going to play games exactly like they played against the Bills all year. And if the team like the Bills turns the ball over three times, they're going to win. If they don't, they're probably going to lose. And that's what it's going to come down to.
We might have talked about the Colts for a minute Monday, or no, it was you and I texted about the Colts yesterday, and like the possibility of a playoff game with Indianapolis. How legit are they? For you,
not as legit. I think they do run the ball very well, no doubt. And they have Jonathan Taylor, who's really good. I think at some point, you know, they'll start to get through. Now, I think, let me look at their schedule, because I was looking at it the other day. Actually,
it's interesting.
They have some opportunity. Yeah, I mean they have some teams. It's really after their bye. Well, it's a little tougher though. Yeah, they got the Chargers, the Steelers, the Falcons. But after their bye, they go Chiefs, Texans, Jags, Seahawks, 49ers, Jags. So yeah, the thing about their schedule that stuck out to me. They've played one division game so far. That's the Titans.
Yep.
They play one more division game, the Titans. And then they have the Texans and Jags both twice each in the last 6 weeks of the year. Right? Like, that's – we know the way AFC South is. Like, that's really tough. You're going to battle back and forth. I liked your question. I thought about it. And yeah, 100% I would take right now. Right now. You give me, you say it doesn't matter what happens, what seed you are. You go Bills at Colts right now in the AFC Championship. I'm absolutely taking that. When you asked it to Bulldog and he said, well, that means I don't get the one seed. But that's not the question, right? And I know where he's coming from. If you asked me, would you rather have the one seed or be guaranteed that? I still think I would be guaranteed that because it doesn't matter. I'm already there, right? But it does matter getting that week off, no doubt. But man, I think that would be a dream scenario for the Bills to go. If you could guarantee right now they go to Indianapolis to face Daniel Jones and the Colts in an AFC championship game in a controlled environment versus any other spot on the board, I think that's a win. I think it's a win. I think it's a win for the Bills, but I think that's positive for me.
Yeah. I mean, Chris isn't here to defend his position today, but imagine saying no to that offer. Just like, all right, I'm here already. I'm in this
like,
game.
What's a better outcome? The better outcome would be at home against, and you're going to choose a bunch of teams, but you're not going to choose a bunch of teams.
Yeah, the Colts.
Right.
No, I could play them at home. I'd rather have that. And you make an interesting point about the weather, too. Yeah. Like, that could be a neutralizer. Yeah. Sure.
100%. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen in weather. And, you know, we'll see that again on Monday night. Now, last year, Bills went to Houston. They played in a dome and played poorly, very poorly, right? It didn't go very well for them. And we've seen, I think, against the Chargers, it didn't go very well when they played there last year, a couple years ago, whatever it was for Josh Allen. So it doesn't have to be that it's, oh my God, it's perfect like that. But I just think that when you get in that environment, like anything can happen. And yes, I respect the fact that they would be at home. It is tough. It is tough mentally for teams. Like if you gave me a choice, this would be a tough one. I think I would take this over at Indy. I would take Chargers at Bills because I don't think the Chargers are coming to Buffalo in January and winning in the AFC Championship game. Right? I think that's a tough deal for them. But I think for most teams, you just guarantee me AFC Championship Bills at Colts. I think I'm taking that.
Bloom may be off the rose there in L.A. after their start, two straight losses. Okay, well, enjoy the baseball tonight, Sal. We'll talk again tomorrow.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio with us. His appearances on WGR brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor, your place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Coming up next, the Falcons. I'm saying to Sal, I don't really have a position here yet on the Falcons. And Sal's kind of saying somewhat the same thing, thinking about some of their players, but not yet into the matchups. And we have until Monday. However, Joe Patrick, he can help us out. 92.9 The Fan in Atlanta. We'll get a little bit of a better feel maybe for the Bills Week 6 opponent Monday night here on WGR. This is Mike Shope. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever I said about the Tigers worked. 8-3. Like, they're just pounding home runs now. Some of these home runs are like the dinkiest home runs, but they will take it. No excuses. Whatever it is in the box score. 8-3, that's out of nowhere. They were just being totally shut down in this game. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off today. Let's click on the Atlanta Falcons, who the Bills will visit on Monday night. Not a team that there's a lot of history with around here, but should be an interesting game. Joe Patrick with me from 92.9 The Fan in Atlanta. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. Thank you for your time today. What are these Falcons so far? I was just talking with our Sal Capaccio about them a little bit, and he's like, if you look at their scores, they might be hard to figure out.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of been a mixed bag for the team so far through four games, and I guess it makes sense that they're 2-2 because of it. And, you know, it's kind of one of the interesting things about it is that it just has not been the team we really expected coming into the season. Basically, the blueprint for the Falcons coming into the season was you got to have a top 10 offense behind Michael Penix, who the team had a lot of confidence in, and then you hope to get about a league average defense out of, you know, some of these young rookies and some of these new pieces under a new defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. And you figure that that was going to be the kind of formula that they needed in order to mount a challenge in the NFC South. And what we've seen so far is an offense that has really sputtered and finally got on track really for the first time, I think, truly, in week four against the Commanders. But it's the defense that I think is really giving people down here a lot of confidence in what this team can potentially be this season, given how good they've been through these opening four games, just creating pressure, which has been a struggle for this franchise for decades, honestly, Mike. And, you know, so that's been encouraging to see. But again, I think a lot of this comes down to the offense and whether they're going to be able to continue what they did in week four or whether it's going to be more of a reversion back to what they were in more, I would say, weeks one through three, truly, which is an offense that just has been really kind of flummoxed by these kind of too high safety looks that those teams were giving them. The Commanders did not really do that, and the team was able to take advantage.
Yeah, as Sal mentioned, I mentioned Sal already, first in the league in on defense, net yards per pass attempt, 4.7. So Atlanta is hitting it right there. You know, the Bills, yeah, Joe, have been kind of a puzzle too on defense. They went into Sunday night's game giving up 6 yards per carry. But then in the game against New England, they were stronger against the run, but they got lit up pretty much by Stephon Diggs in the game. So they're kind of, we're unsure about their quality when it comes to defense. I saw the Falcons play the Sunday night game in Minnesota in week two, and my partner is not here today to talk about this, but he has just this running thing where he's like never watched Bijan Robinson. And I'm a big fantasy player. Like, I've watched a lot of Bijan Robinson, and I thought his talent was fully on display in that game. Algier gets the touchdown late, but still, right, Robinson right. seems like the real thing.
He is absolutely incredible in every sense of the word. And I would start just by saying, like, he is as nice of a guy off the field talking to him in person in the locker room as he is talented of a football player that we've seen between the lines on Sundays. But, yeah, speaking of that, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, what can this guy not do, really, is the question. I mean, right now, Mike, Bijan Robinson leads the Falcons in both rushing yards and receiving yards. He's wow. the team's leading receiver and rusher so far this season. And, you know, exemplified by literally the third play of the Falcons season, he takes a little check down, goes 50 yards per touchdown. And that's just kind of the electrifying ability that he has. And he's also, not only is he able to kind of beat you and, you know, with the long speed on some of those catches, but he can also just absolutely make you miss in a phone booth. And, you know, James Cook is kind of similar with the jump cuts and those types of things. But I mean, I think Bijan and Cook, honestly, I think are like two of the best in the NFL at those little cuts that allow them to, you know, get those added yards that you need. And he had another spectacular rushing touchdown against the Commanders in week four where he showed off that ability to jump cut. And so, yeah, the Falcons are definitely going to be relying on him for sure. And I think Michael Penix too. You know, Michael Penix, like I said earlier, a quarterback that the organization has a lot of confidence in. And I think you could see on the tape last year why they have that confidence. But, you know, when you see the struggles that he had in these first three games, I think it really shines the importance on getting the running game going and making sure defenses are having to be keyed in at all times on Bijan Robinson that will allow Michael Penix to flourish. And then I think the other aspect to Bijan that's different, I think, than a lot of backs is that they are going back to what they did with him, what Arthur Smith really did with him in 2023, where, you know, Arthur Smith, when he was drafted, he described him, he's not a running back, he's a home run hitter. And they wanted to kind of use him as a bit of a gadget all over the field. And then last year, they wanted to kind of go back to the nuts and bolts of just being a running back. But what we saw, especially in week four, was them start to utilize him a lot more as a receiver out, you know, split out wide in some interesting sets where they might come out in base personnel, but the tight end is like kind of riding shotgun, sidecar in the shotgun next to Michael Penix. So doing some interesting things where they can move around guys like Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts, who's also kind of maneuverable in that sense with regards to like being able to use him differently in formations.
Right. Yeah, that was super annoying 2 years ago when they kept giving Tyler Allgeier the ball. And part of that was because he wasn't bad. Like, he's not bad. So
right.
He was efficient. And, again, fantasy-wise, Robinson, really, the ceiling was kind of capped. But the receiving is the dream when it comes to that. And he's putting up those numbers. Joe Patrick, 92.9, The Fan in Atlanta. My guest, I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. So what about the timing of the bye week here for the Falcons, Joe? I mean, week five, as early as it gets, ends up being 15 days between their last game and this game against Buffalo. You're talking about how many different looks they might be able, or they've shown already. I guess this is a great spot for them to be able to add to that.
Yeah, you know, I think the bye week is, like, in the immediate term here against, you know, a quality team like Buffalo, and then with San Francisco coming up, I do think it helps them in that regard. But I think when you look at the course of the entire season and just, like, looking at the schedule in totality for the Falcons, I think if you were to ask some of the Falcons brass in their training facility up there in Flowery Branch, Georgia, they may not have been too pleased with the way that things shook out, because ultimately, I know this is in regards to the Monday night game, but it's like you have the bye week and then you're playing on Monday night, so you just kind of have like an extra day on top of your bye week, and then that creates a shorter week going for you the next week, where you then also have to travel to the West Coast. So there's some logistical kind of issues that this team is going to have to deal with, and those might become more problematic down the road when at that point you're playing, you know, 6-7 consecutive weeks heading down the stretch of the season. I do think that it helps them, though, in the immediate term. I mean, they had A.J. Terrell, their best cornerback by far, and I think one of the most underrated corners in the NFL. He's been out with a hamstring injury since that Week 2 game against the Minnesota Vikings. They're hoping to get him back, and that bye week will have obviously given them an extra week of rest to allow him to get healthy again. So in some respects, it will help them get some guys back and be fresh for this one, but they're going to have their hands full later on in the season dealing with the schedule, because it's going to get, you know, very long. Obviously, I don't think anybody needs kind of any explanation about how just brutal this game is, and they're going to have to be on top of kind of their body prep, honestly, as they go forward in the season. I know that's a lot of guys are talking about that, kind of being top of mind as they come back out of this bye week, or this early bye week. And I don't know what to do with myself in an October bye week. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I know. It's too early. It's too early. But if you didn't mention it, you may have. I'm sorry if I missed it, but you also have a trip to Berlin in there. Like,
yeah, that's right. So they have to travel to the West Coast twice, plus going to Berlin. So yeah, they've got a lot of travel.
Right, and the bye week is over. So, you know, teams have the choice, I think, whether they want their bye after the trip international, and I guess the Falcons chose no, or is that not
well? I could actually offer some clarity there, because that's what I thought as well. And now it turns out that there are so many international games that the NFL is basically not able to accommodate all the requests. So now it is officially you request the bye week after or around the international game. And typically they are given if they can be accommodated, but for whatever reason, that was not able to be done this year for the Falcons.
Yeah, thank you for that. When the Bills went to London a couple of years ago, I think that then they had the choice and they chose not to take the bye. They came home and played the Giants the next week, were a huge favorite, and barely won. They got out of that game barely. So I don't know. It's always easier in hindsight to see what you should have done. Darnell Mooney for this game. Joe, what do you think?
He's questionable. There's been reporting from some of the national reporters saying that they expect him to get back, that the bye week was going to...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Allow him to get back. I would think that will be the case, that he will, kind of be on the field. But I'll tell you, Mike, he's just not been anywhere near the player that he was last year. You know, he's coming off of a shoulder injury that he literally injured himself diving for a football on the first day of training camp when they were not in pads. And, you know, the rust, I think, has really shown since he's come back. I think they tried to get him back as soon as possible because they really do need him. He is a core part of that wide receiver group. But you could just see that it's not quite there yet. I don't know if the connection is totally there with Penix. Obviously, there's some more adjustments that you might have to have as a receiver with a left-handed quarterback as well, and they didn't have a ton of reps last year. In fact, it's worth noting that, you know, Michael Penix was not taking any reps with any of these starting receivers until literally that week that he was named the starting quarterback, and it would have been that Wednesday that he started taking those reps with those guys. Now he's also thrown with them over the course of the offseason and such, but Darnell Mooney, you know, the Falcons will obviously like to have him out there and certainly presents a problem, but I don't know if he will be operating at his maximum capacity even if he is able to play.
All right, very good, Joe. Bills and Falcons next Monday night. Thanks for your time and insight.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. At JAPatrick200 on Twitter for more on the Falcons. Yeah, the Mooney, it makes sense. Like, he got hurt so early, and they were a little bit, I don't know, maybe I missed it, but I feel like it was, there was some confusion about how long he was going to miss. A guy can get hurt like that and just never get right. You know, the season starts, the pressure builds. It feels like he's somebody that really opens up even more for London and even Pitts in that offense. So he might be important on Monday. Bulldog is off today. This is Mike Shope at 803-0550. You're listening to WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.